So we had a special guest speaker in downstairs this morning from Africa, all the way from Africa. And he's going to be speaking again Thursday night at
Forsa Cafe,
which is down kind of in the Gonzaga area.
Yeah, right on Hamilton.
And at what time? At 6. So if you didn't get a chance to hear him this morning, he's going to be there Thursday night, 6 p.m., Forsa Cafe?
Forsa
Cafe. So, all right. I was pretty impressed. He's not here. Did he leave? Okay. I was pretty impressed. You know, here was this guy from, I've always heard stories about, you know, stuff in Africa and how long it goes. He was right on time. Of course, Pam was standing back there going. No, she wasn't. But very good information talking about the ministry there. Christian Hearts Africa. Dealing a lot with you know, street kids, orphans, kids that need a lot of help. And so their main emphasis, of course, is Jesus Christ, because that's where their greatest help will come from. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to the Nolans or the Mickelsons, or Dina's here this morning. You can talk to her. Good ministry. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just the beautiful weather we've been having. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are God. You are the one true God. You are the only God. And I think as Faisal was sharing this morning, you know, coming from a Muslim background and coming to that realization that there is one true God. And there is only one person that salvation can come through, and that's Jesus Christ. And just an amazing testimony. And so, Father, help us. We live, you know, in this country, and I think we take a lot of things for granted, and one of them being salvation, one of them being Christian faith in a place where we're not persecuted. And so, Father, help us to not take that for granted, but to really live in a way that honors you and glorifies you and shows our faith and our love. Father, I pray for this message this morning. Pray that you would use me, that you would speak to your people, that the Holy Spirit would just really open their hearts and their minds to what you have for them as individuals. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are continuing our series on Christ's soldiers. This morning we're looking at the armor of God, the full armor of God. But before I get into it, let's do a little bit of review. So there's 7 steps to being Christ soldiers. Number 1 was sign up. You have to sign up to be one of Christ's soldiers. In other words, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's part of signing up. Can't be a soldier for Jesus Christ if you're not a Christian. Pretty simple. And that, along with that, comes some expectations. That God expect us then to be obedient. We need to then expect that difficulty will come, that it is not going to be smooth sailing as a believer in Christ. But we also need to realize that the victory is ours. Amen. That it's done. It's a done deal. Yes. It's a done deal. Victory has already been had. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning as we talk about the armor. And then 2 is we need to show up. You need to show up. If you're going to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, you have to show up. You know, you have to be there. You have to participate in the training. You have to work together, supporting one another, being part of the body, showing up. And then 3, we talked about this one last week, is we need to shape up. Some of you need to shape up more than others. But we need to shape up. We need to be maturing, and that's a progressive process that happens. We need to be spiritually fit. And to become spiritually fit, we've got to be students of the Bible. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We need to be people of prayer. We need to learn to apply what God's word says to us. And we need to develop relationships with one another. And that's part of the shaping up process. This morning, we're going to be looking at that full armor. And so Paul, in his talking about it, he really, as he was talking about it, people were visualizing a Roman soldier. As he was talking about the different pieces of armament. And so that was the illustration that Paul was using, and that we're in a battle. And so turn to your Bibles to Ephesians 6. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18 today. Or turn your device on or whatever it is you use that you have your Bible on. I know some people have it on paper still. You know, that's one of the things I've never talked myself into doing. Like, I still keep paper notes because I'm afraid I'm going to get up here and the stupid thing's not going to work. Then what are you going to do? All right, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves in the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm, stand your ground on the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm, therefore, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, by fitting your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace. And in all of this, by taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And to this end, be alert with all perseverance and requests for all the saints. We're going to be looking at each individual part here. We need to realize it's a battle. It is a battle. And like the scripture says here, it's not a battle against flesh and blood. There are the spiritual forces that we can't see that are out there that are battling against us. There is an enemy. There is an enemy that would love nothing else than to see you dead. And if nothing else, at least see your witness destroyed. And we have this enemy that also, he doesn't follow the rules. He doesn't follow the rules. John 8:44 says about our enemy. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desire of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Doesn't play by the rules. He's going to do everything he can to get you off track. But the thing we need to realize is that the victory is already had. That ultimately, the ultimate battle has already been finished. Jesus Christ has finished it. Now, there's going to be daily skirmishes that we go through. There's going to be these little battles that we have to participate in, but we need to have that confidence in knowing the victory has been had through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 20, speaking of Jesus Christ, he says, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, he's sitting at the right hand of God. That means it's done. It's finished. Ultimately, the victory is there. The victory is there. Going on in Ephesians 2, Paul's still speaking to the Ephesians. He says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you hear what he's saying there? This is past. He's saying this, it's already been done. This is God's view. He has already placed us there in victory. Number four. This is number four in the steps. Suit up. We need to clothe ourselves in the full armor of God. Not just part of it. Not just a piece here and a piece there. We need the full armor. One of the things as I was studying in this, somebody made this statement where they said, God doesn't ask us to take courage. What he says to us is, be strengthened in the Lord and the strength of his power. Because it's not in us. It's God's power. It's God's strength that we have to depend on. So number one piece of armor is the belt of truth. So the Roman soldier would wear this belt around his waist, would hold all the undergarments together. It was a place where he could hang his weapons and put the various articles that he needed on there. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Batman, you know, and his utility belt. You know, he had all that stuff right there on his belt, ready to go. He was prepared. And that's what we need to realize is the belt of truth is what's going to prepare us. We need to know the truth. The Bible says what the truth is, that Jesus is the truth, John 14, 6. It also says that God's word is the truth, Matthew 17, 17. And then we see the example of Jesus as he went out in the desert and he was tempted for 40 days, right? Yeah. You know this story? And Satan comes to him at the end and starts to say, well, you know, if you do this, or if you do this, or if you do this. And what was Jesus' answer every time? Scripture. Every single time he answered him with the word of God. And that's the example he was leaving for us. Because it could have been very easy for Jesus just to say, hey, you know who I am? Get out of here. But he didn't. He said, this is what God's word says. And that's what we need to remember, that truth of God's word, and we need to use it. Number two is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate that protects your vital organs, right? Because remember the battles back then? I mean, this is the things they use, you know, the swords and spears and arrows. You know, so you needed to protect things. And we also need to understand where our righteousness comes from. That our righteousness comes from Jesus. It's not on our own. It's not on our own. Philippians 3:9. It says, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So it's nothing that we have done to be right with God. That's what righteousness means, being in a right relationship with God. There's nothing that we can do other than accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And through faith in Christ, that's where the righteousness comes from. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Having that right relationship with God makes such a difference when we're out there in the battle. The enemies can so easily come along and start telling us how bad we are. All the mistakes we've made, all the stuff we've done, and that God doesn't love us. How could he possibly love you with all the junk you've done? Well, the answer is my righteousness lies in Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes me right with God. The next one, the sandals of the gospel of peace. So back in that day, that was their attire, was wearing sandals. And a lot of times they had on the bottom of the sandals like little studs. So it helped them, you know, get better grip. So those of you that have ever done any logging, they're called corks. Little spikes on the bottom of your shoes so you can move around in the woods and not slip. So the Roman soldiers had those too, so they had a firm foundation. They were prepared. They were solid. They were connected to the ground. And we need to realize that really what helps us, what gives us that firm foundation, what really connects us is the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us. That he was willing to shed his blood for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, "Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, that you received and on which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold firm to the message I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Verse 3, "For I pass on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the good news. So any sin that's in our life, we can have it dealt with through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's the good news, is that we can have that relationship. We can have peace with God. Second Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." So there's a good response to the enemy when he comes and says, "Oh, what about all this stuff you've done? Hey, I'm new in Christ. All that stuff is gone. All that stuff is old." And it says, "The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was committed to this word of reconciliation. In other words, he was making a way for us to have peace with God. Because without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no peace with God. Because there's nothing we can do to reconcile the sin that's in our life. There had to be that shed blood of the perfect sacrifice. And then what we also need to do now is then let the rest of the world know they can have peace with God. That there is peace out there through Jesus Christ. So having your feet prepared and ready to share the good news of the gospel. The next one is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. A lot of times these shields would be made out of wood and covered with leather. And a lot of times what they would do is they were getting ready to go into battle, they would soak that shield with water so that when the enemy shot the flaming arrows, they wouldn't ignite the shield. And it's what God is, or what Paul is telling us here, to have the shield of faith that we can use against the attack of the enemy that's going to be throwing those flaming arrows. Not just regular arrows. Flaming arrows. It'll do way more damage. But if we're prepared, if we have the shield of faith, we can extinguish those. And having that faith with other believers makes a big difference to support and encourage one another. They would take these shields and they could put them together side by side. Then they could have the next row behind them would put them above them. The Roman army was pretty darn good. They had this warfare thing figured out. They knew how to best defeat the enemy. We need to realize that through our faith is how we can defeat the enemy. But we need to have the kind of faith that God tells us to have. As James says, faith without action, faith without works is dead. If you've got faith, then let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see it in action. We need to not be deceived by the enemy when he starts to question our faith, when he starts to question maybe what God said. Back in Genesis 3, again, the enemy comes along and he starts talking to Eve. And he says, oh, look at that tree. Look at the fruit on that tree. Isn't it look awesome? I'll bet it tastes really good. And oh, and here, by the way, this is what it will do for you if you eat it. God's withholding this from you. And Eve starts to think about that. And oh, yeah. I don't know that God has my best interest at hand. And so she then says back to Satan, not what God actually said. She added some stuff in there. Unlike what Jesus did, when the enemy came and challenged him, he spoke God's word right back to him. Nope, this is what God said. We need to make sure that we know what God says. And we need to make sure that when the enemy comes, we can tell him, no, that's not what God said. This is what God says. Even our very faith, the Bible says, is given to us by God. Romans 12:3. It says, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. Even our very faith, God is providing us with it. The next one is the helmet of salvation. One of the things that the helmet does, it protects the head, but it also is a way of identification. So like the one helmet down there in the corner, you see the thing on the top. A lot of times the helmets would have various things on them to identify who that soldier was with, what group they were with. It was a thing of identification. So you think about that in the perspective of the believer's life, those of us that have salvation, those of us that have accepted Christ as Savior, there's an immediate connection with another believer, right? I mean, you've probably run into that where you're out, someone you don't know, and you're starting to have a conversation with them, and all of a sudden you realize they're a believer, and it's just like, it changes the whole relationship. It changes the whole conversation because you're connected with them. You identify with them. So part of that helmet is that identification. But realizing, again, that our salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That there is salvation and no one else. This is in Acts 4. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That's Romans 4:12. There is no other salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what any of the other religions say. They're wrong. There is only salvation in Jesus Christ. The next one is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the very Word of God. Now, one of the things that developed in the Roman army was the sword. It started to get shorter and shorter as they realized when it's close hand-to-hand combat, this size of sword works much better. In fact, you think about the guys, they're lined up in a row. They've got all their shields together, and they can stick that sword between the shields as they're going into the next army. It was a lot easier to use than some big old thing you had to use two hands with. The Roman army was very efficient. It was very effective. And we need to realize that God's word is highly effective. Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's a pretty precise instrument that can do that. And that's God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's why we have God's word. It is highly effective, but we need to know it. We need to constantly be thinking about it. In Deuteronomy 11, as he's talking to God's people here and reminding them about his word, and what he says here, this is Deuteronomy 11, starting in verse 18, he says, "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking to them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So, is there a time when you shouldn't think of God's word? Not according to this. When you're awake or when you're asleep, think about God's word. If that's the last thing on your mind when you go to sleep, it makes a big difference. Wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, why in the world am I awake? Start praying. Go through some of those verses you've memorized. Amazing how that helps. We need to constantly have that on our minds and our thoughts. And so when the enemy comes, we're immediately prepared. We immediately have God's word on the tip of our tongue to be able to respond to the enemy. Or when that person comes and says, "You know, I've been keeping my eye on you, and there's something different about you. What is it?" Immediately you can tell them. Now the last one doesn't usually get put into the list of the armor of God, but it's so important, and that's prayer. That's prayer. It really has to do with bringing all the armor together and using it. We need to have the Holy Spirit helping us as we pray in the Spirit. It talks about us having alertness and perseverance. It talks about us praying for others. But really what it comes down to is we need to stay in contact with the commander. Right? Amen. If you got the soldiers out there doing their thing, you know, and back in the day, they used to use flags and stuff. They would tell them what to do, what direction to go. Or the trumpets, you know, they'd play those. Here's what you do. Here's where we need you to go. And if they weren't in contact with the guy that was in charge and telling them, here's what we need to do. Here's where we need to go. Here's what's going to happen. It was a mess. That's the biggest part of prayer, is we need to stay in contact with the commander. We need to stay in contact with God, making sure that we're listening to Him and getting our direction from Him. But it also says that we're to pray for one another. We're to hold each other up in prayer so that we can be effective soldiers for Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians says that we're to, starting in this is chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. We need to be praying all the time. That needs to be part of who we are. And what it is, it's staying in connection with God. Listening to Him, talking to Him, spending time with Him. We saw that when we were looking at the shape-up part, about the part of growing. A big part of that is spending time with God. And not just talking to Him, but listening to Him, making sure you're giving Him time to speak to you. So I want to leave you with one last illustration, one last thing to kind of have in your mind. So we've been looking at the soldier here with all his armor on, but there was a guy in the Old Testament that went out to battle, and he had no armor that we could see. David, when he went up against Goliath. Remember, he tried the armor, and it was like, oh, this doesn't work. And he thought, get rid of that stuff. But David had the armor of God on, didn't he? He was the one who stood up and said, wait a minute. This uncircumcised Philistine is berating my God. I'm not going to put up with that. Why aren't you guys doing something about this? And he went out there and took out this guy that was probably three times his size because he had the armor of God on. He didn't need the bulky armor of the day, but he needed the armor of God. And that's what we need to have, is we need to have that armor of God on as we go out every day into the world. Put it on every day, making sure that you understand all the pieces and how they work, and that you're using them to further God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have given us this full armor, that you have provided for us in this world a way to protect ourselves against the enemy, a way to do battle against the enemy. And Father, it's all about furthering your kingdom. It's all about letting people know who you are and that there can be peace with God. There can be reconciliation with God. I think there's a lot of people in this world that they may not understand the term sin, but they understand the things they've done in their lives, and they think, you know, if there is a God, there's no way that He could love me. And so it's our job to help them to understand who God really is and how much love He really does have for people and His willingness to accept them if they're willing to accept His Son. Oh, Father, help us as we think about the armor of God, as we think about going out and doing battle, as we think about the enemy, and it's not people. It's not people we're fighting against. It is that enemy, that unseen enemy that we can't see, those forces, those heavenly forces around us. Help us to be keenly aware through your Spirit of where they are and how best to do battle. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to just bring your attention to a few things.